With a fast-paced farce to rehearse and a doctor's warning to clean up my act, Francis had become my personal motivator.
Hurry up!
Stroke trainer.
Dig in!
Stroke torturer-in-chief.
Dig deep!
Stroke being the operative word.
It hurts.
It gets better.
Well, what if it gets worse?
You die and I get my spare room back.
Gee, thanks, coach.
It's only pain.
It's these shorts.
Normally, I'd jack it in and head for the nearest pub, but recently my life had been affected by two premature deaths, which was a wake-up call.
Last one back's a financial drain on the NHS.
Yeah.
The director of a show I was rehearsing phoned in sick with a migraine, then keeled over with a coronary.
Drop the pace if you need to fartlek.
That's either a running term or a flatulent Dalek.
Then I got a call telling me that a radio producer friend had also died.
Push the envelope!
Of course, Mark had been a heavy drinker and a heavier smoker with an appalling diet and an ex-wife who loathed him. And for some reason that made me reflect on my own life and wonder if it was time to put my house in order.
Not far now.
Even if it was, technically, Francis's house.
At least with cycling, you sit down.
Jogging's convivial.
With you in front the whole time.
I can't slow down.
No, the motion of you in Lycra is the only thing keeping me going.
Well, I sprint the last bit, so it's keep up or bye-bye Lycra. Let's go!
Lungs burning. Fire.
It'll be easier next time.
You've got to be joking.
Where's your stamina?
I think it dropped off after the first mile.
Look at my Fitbit.
I have been.
Here, look. We barely did half a mile.
Well, tell that to the pain running down my right arm.
Heart attack's the left arm.
What's the pain in the right one?
Acute hypochondria.
Oh.
Do your stretches.
Yeah.
If you're going to answer that...
Bugsy the shark.
Last time I heard Mexican Flea, it was Lisa telling me Mark was dead.
Hi, Lisa. I'm just taking you outside.
Francis warned me against receiving bad news to the accompaniment of Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass.
I wish I had a garden. I'm cooped up here waiting to get another earful of abuse from the Ice Queen.
Who?
Mark's ex, Gina. Oh, Charles, it's so awful.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa.
I could really do with someone to talk to.
Well, I'm listening.
I mean face to face.
Ah.
Someone who knew Mark. I don't suppose you could come to the studio.
Nice shorts.
I've been jogging, but it sounded urgent, so...
Can I have a hug?
Oh, I haven't had time for...
Oh, Charles. Okay. Gina and I are in... touch about funeral arrangements.
Mark left Gina when he and Lisa hooked up at the BBC.
It's all so horrible.
When the studio-crossed lovers left the corporation, they set up a small production company, becoming partners in business as in life.
Until this week, I don't think I've ever spoken to a policeman. Now I do little else.
Why?
A middle-aged man with no major health issues dies in a studio and I found the body.
He died here? I looked through to the cramped, airless shoebox where I'd recently spent a steamy day recording Edwardian erotica.
They say he died under suspicious circumstances. Oh, sorry. Just when I think I've normalised the situation, it hits me all over again.
Had he been here long?
A few days.
And no one found him?
Well, I was away. Remember, I... couldn't be there for your theatre promo.
Does that mean we were the last booking before...
Yes. The morning you all came in, was Mark drunk?
He wasn't entirely sober.
Oh, I knew it. Did the recording go all right?
Well...
Charles?
He was a bit high-spirited. Our director was ill and couldn't make it. Mark knew him from the BBC. Do you remember Dave Gurton?
Do I? King of the gravy train.
Well, Mark couldn't resist making a few jokes at Dave's expense.
Libelous jokes?
More.
Well, high-spirited?
Right. You don't happen to know if Mark had written a kiss and tell about his time at the BBC?
Oh, he was always going on about a memoir, usually when he was drunk. Another hollow threat.
Threat?
Well, all right, hollow promise. Like most of Mark's big ideas, he never wrote it. Or if he did, he didn't show it to me.
So there could be a manuscript knocking around somewhere.
Oh, I suppose it's possible. He loved being the centre of attention, and part of that was showing off that he had the dirt on everyone.
So when he said he knew where the bodies were buried...
Well, metaphorical bodies.
I assumed not literal. And this memoir...
Just marking its cups. More empty promises. At least Dave wasn't there to hear him.
You haven't heard.
What?
Halfway through the recording, we had a call saying Dave was dead.
Oh, my God. They must have both died the same day. What happened?
A heart attack. Completely out of the blue.
Oh.
When you said Mark died under suspicious circumstances... rehearsals.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about...
Sorry, Lisa, I've got to run. Call me... Unstretched, unwarmed down, and still unshowered, I hurtled into town, pausing at an artisanal coffee shop, where I spent a week's wages on two double-shot macchiatos and something beige called a high-energy life bar.
Come in, you minx.
Hello, Gordon.
Oh, Alec.
Were you expecting someone else?
No, I...
Where's my 46 bar?
Brian. Gordon, Alec. What were you doing in Gordon's pantry?
No wonder I couldn't find my coat.
And what's a sex pot?
Eh?
You said, where's my sex pot?
No, Xbox. Where's my Xbox?
Already dated in the 70s, One Door Closes had been cack-handedly updated by a cut-price gun-for-hire of a scriptwriter who'd sprinkled the script with leaden references to the digital age.
I didn't have you down as a gamer, Bri.
Oh, yes. I'm Call of Duty crazy.
Sorry, gang. Tony, a quick word with your director's cap on.
As our actual director's ashes were barely cold, Tony Delaney, the company manager, had stepped into the breach.
What's the problem, Bernard?
This Xbox reference. I'm probably showing my age.
It's for playing computer games, isn't it, Charles? My nephew loves Grandma's wardrobe.
Grand Theft Auto, Freddy.
You see, Freddy knows about as much as me and our audience, if we get an audience at all.
Leave that to me.
All right, but they're going to be our sort of age. I had to speak up before it's too late.
It's already pretty late, Bernard. This is the same script we've been rehearsing all along.
But it's not the same script I performed back in 77.
He was in the original cast.
And he came back for more.
I was reading my old script last night, and there are so many changes which don't actually make the show any funnier.
We did get permission from the estate to update.
Do we really need to update a show like this?
We want to make it relevant.
Relevant?
It needs to resonate with a modern audience.
Resonate? Come off it, Tony. It's a light bedroom farce, not a state of the nation drama on Channel 4.
A contemporary audience still has to relate to it.
It's about lust and adultery. Human beings have been doing that since the beginning of time. They've always related to it. They relate to it now and they'll be relating to it in another 1,000 years' time. And while we're at it, I think we can do without the effing and blinding.
There's very little effing.
There's more blinding in King Lear.
Thanks, Charles.
Sorry.
There shouldn't be any of either.
I tell you what, let's break for an early lunch. Bernard, let's have a chat over a sandwich.
Right. Well,
what was all that about?
Well, with great fame comes great responsibility.
Bernard's become very image conscious.
He is a national treasure.
Oh, he hates that.
I can understand him wanting to protect his profile.
Yes, but Bernard's not Alec.
Well, he's not a million miles away.
Freddie, we've all got our range.
But a part's a part. Credit the audience with a little intelligence.
Then again, none of us has achieved quite the same level of fame.
Tell me about it.
When I first knew him, he took what was on offer.
Times change.
I suppose he has to think of his fan base.
The only mild dirt I had on Bernard was that I'd seen him sharing a spliff with Freddy, and that wouldn't get him a mention in the sidebar of shame.
We've all done work we'd rather forget.
Well, as we've broken early, I'm going to venture a Thai green curry and a pint at the Grafton. Anyone?
Count me in. Charles?
My Pavlovian response to the words curry and pint sent my salivary glands into overdrive, but an uppercase text put me on pause.
Lunchtime. Show self-restraint to win reward. Remember Torquay? Triple exclamation marks, smiley face, winky face, red lips, kiss, kiss, kiss.
Of course I remembered Torquay and she knew it. How could I not remember the fleshpots of Torquay? We were young, carefree. And yet the words pint and curry were eroding my self-restraint. Then came a follow-up.
Lie and I'll know. You know I always know. Scary face, death-holding sigh.
Who needs a pub when a pop-up street food market pops up in a deconsecrated churchyard? I hit the Amazonian salad bar like a man on a mission. The mission? To live.
I'll have the vegan rainforest salad box.
Any extras?
What do you recommend?
Oh, my favorite's the smoked tofu, though I have to warn you, the tahini, cashew, and sesame seed dressing does contain nuts and seeds.
You've got to love a generation whose idea of life on the edge is salad dressing.
To hell with it. We only live once. Give me the works.
Clutching my fat-free, salt-free, sugar, and fun-free lunch, I secured the gravestone of a 17th-century silk merchant and tucked in.
Oh, not now. I'm in a state of vegan grace.
Ah, the fictional health regime.
There's nothing fictional about this. My jaws have never had such a workout.
Don't forget, fall off the wagon, you buy me lunch at a restaurant of my choice.
Which is why I won't fall off the wagon.
We'll see. You wanted the gossip on Bernard.
What have you got?
Nada. No one's got a bad word to say. No bitching, no gossip, no scandal. And he's got the nerve to call himself an actor. Happily married this, charity fundraisers that. I had high hopes when you said he smokes Mary Jane. High hopes? See what I did there?
Don't tell me it was a herbal cigarette.
Oh, it was weed, all right. Medical use to relieve his lumbago, yawn yawn. I know clerics with richer hinterlands.
You know clerics?
Gogglebox, a small island parish. Saturday Live. Dog collars are de rigueur. Vicars are the new stand-ups. Forget the Groucho. The General Synod's where the deals are going down.
Maybe I should take the cloth.
You're more mosh pit than pulpit. No, I'm afraid Brother Bernard's squeaky clean. Freddy, on the other hand.
Ah, okay. Everyone knows he's a skinflint, so it's got to be fraud, tax evasion, offshore accounts.
Porn.
Shut the shut up.
There's stuff online if you know where to look.
You didn't hack his browsing history.
He's not a consumer, he's a purveyor. Well, he was.
We are talking about the same Freddie George. Love at cords, Daily Telegraph sticking out the pocket of his tweed jacket, goes glassy-eyed when anyone mentions good old Maggie.
Pornography is all about the free market, Charles. Anyway, this was when Freddie was young and needed the money.
Why do I keep hearing that? Seriously, though, Freddie in porn?
Well, don't come on all judgmental. You've done your share of iffy gigs for money. That dirty audiobook, for one.
That was Edwardian erotica.
Keeping a top hat on doesn't make it art. You don't seriously think Freddie had anything to do with Mark's death?
Holy mother!
What is it?
Oh, my leg!
What have you done this time?
Brought up short by the searing pain, I filed Freddie away under possible suspects to be considered and limped back to the rehearsal room like Boris Karloff in Tower of London.
Did you warm down after your run?
Oh, I didn't have time.
Shower? Silly question. I don't suppose you drank anything.
Four espressos washed down by two double macchiatos.
For an intelligent man, you're surprisingly thick.
That has been brought to my attention.
You've got a build-up of lactic acid.
From a tiny dash of foamy milk.
From exercise and stupidity. Lie down.
Oh.
Legs up.
Oh.
I'm going to give you a massage.
Right.
Ever since an accidental night at Susie's, she was under the misapprehension that we had a thing.
Ow.
We didn't have a thing. And I was worried that her man handling me was giving the wrong signals. On the other hand, I was in agony.
Surprisingly smooth legs. Do you shave them?
No, I do not.
Lots of men go in for manscaping now.
Aren't you supposed to be rehearsing your bedroom scene?
Tony swapped to the conservatory with Bernard, Freddie and Pippa. Good luck to him.
Why good luck?
Because, well, little Miss Cute and Perky can't do funny to save her life.
Pippa had set Susie's teeth on edge from day one, mainly because Pippa had the audacity to have been born in 1997.
Why, she schmoozes Bernard.
Does she?
Don't tell me you hadn't noticed. Constantly asking advice, hanging on his every word, laughing at his jokes. Bernard, you're so funny, you ought to be on Have I Got News For You. Oh, God. It's nauseating.
You don't think there's something going on between them?
Who knows?
I thought he was happily married.
Is this Charles Paris talking? Or is there a pod in the basement and you're an alien replacement?
He's 50 years her senior.
This didn't match Morris's profile of Mr. Squeaky Clean at all.
Didn't you wonder why Pippa and he weren't at the promo recording?
We couldn't use the entire cast in a 30-second promo anyway. We'd never have fitted them into that tiny studio.
So you don't think it's a coincidence that only they had the morning off?
Not particularly, no.
On the other hand, if there was something going on between them and word got back to Bernard that Mark was planning to write a book of showbiz scandal, no. It was ridiculous.
Right. up you get.
Oh, right.
Better?
Well, much. You're wasted on acting.
Thanks.
No.
Thank you very much.
I didn't mean literally.
Good to know I've got something to fall back
That's
on.
That's really not what I meant.
Leave the acting to girls like Pippa.
I just meant that you're really good at Mansard.
I've got to just do something.
As I was already in a hole, it was time to stop digging. But Susie would barely look at me rehearsing our bedroom scene.
Alone at last.
Yes.
You don't sound too sure.
It's just...
What?
Nothing.
I like it when you're enigmatic.
She delivered the lines, but nothing else.
It's very sexy.
On the plus side, she no longer thought there was something between us.
You do like animals, don't you, Gordon?
Love them.
Tony seemed to have placated Bernard over the effing and blinding, and the rest of the day went smoothly enough.
The dog.
Maybe... We should wait till you give your sister back her cockapoo.
And lights fade to black. OK, people, we'll reconvene after the weekend.
Fancy a quick drink, Tony?
I thought you were on a fitness regime.
A fruit juice?
I would, but I've got a to-do list like you wouldn't believe. Then a conference call, and I've promised Bernard I'll take another look through all his scenes tonight just to see if there's any way I can take out the odd word he still finds offensive.
Sounds like you're doing about 10 different jobs.
That's the gig economy.
Seriously, shouldn't you have an assistant to take some of the pressure off you?
You know how tight they are.
So they aren't looking for someone to replace Dave?
I refer you to my last answer.
I hope they're paying you extra for all of this.
I refer you to my previous two answers.
Well, I don't envy you.
Oh, it's what we do, Charles. When I was a kid, I'd have killed to work in theatre. Now it's an addiction. If they stopped paying me, I'd probably keep coming in.
Don't tell them that.
You're an actor. You know what I mean?
Put get some sleep on your to-do list.
Some chance. Night, Charles.
Thwarted in my attempts to shower, I took what was on offer and strolled through a summer Soho cloudburst.
Taxi!
Oi! Oh.
Oblivious to another angry Londoner drenched in grey gutter water, the cabbie was busy picking up
Bernard.
From beneath a large golfing umbrella, Bernard ushered Pippa into the back of the cab before they sped off through the monsoon. I was now beyond wet, so made for the nearest convenience.
Do you have to put your foot on my desk?
I've got to get dry.
You don't have to do it quite so graphically.
Do you think I've got smooth legs?
I don't think about your legs. Well, now you mention it, that's a mirror finish. Do you wax?
Maybe I should see a doctor.
Just add it to your CV. Please cover up, Charles.
My clothes are soaked.
Wrap yourself in the towel. Sit still and shut up while I finish this email.
What's this?
Don't touch.
Okay, okay.
Prosecco.
No, thank you, Sophie.
Didn't you ring?
It was just Charles.
Okay, cool.
You've got a Prosecco bell.
It's a joke, a gift from a client.
Your clients give you gifts.
Please, Charles.
I'm not even here.
Shh. You haven't got a hairdryer, have you?
Do I look like I use a hairdryer?
What about a...
Have you got ADHD? What, Charles? What about a what?
Just wondering if you had a tumble dryer.
Oh, let me see. What's that in the corner? A photocopier. Oh, yes. This is the talent agency, not a bloody laundrette.
All right. When you...
I give up. What? When I what?
When you sniffed around for gossip on Bernard.
Oh, do let it go.
It's been suggested to me that he's seeing a young actress, possibly more than seeing.
With his lumbago?
We know he smokes dope to ease the pain. Maybe it eases it enough for him to have an affair.
Oh, every young actress's dream, a septuagenarian stoner with chronic back pain. What is this obsession with Bernard's private life?
The police think Mark died under suspicious circumstances. And when we recorded the promo, Mark was showing off about his encyclopedic knowledge of showbiz. His gossip and how he was going to put all the dirt in his memoir.
Was Bernard upset?
He wasn't there.
Oh, for goodness sake.
What if someone told Bernard about Mark's book?
Is there a book? Is there even a manuscript?
Lisa's never seen one.
Oh, the plot thins by the second.
Look, Bernard's a national treasure, a much-loved family favourite angling for a knighthood.
Not everyone's as anti-establishment as you.
But a sex scandal would jeopardise a royal honour.
Do you know anything about politicians and royalty?
If Bernard's ambitious enough, a potential scandal might push him to do something desperate.
One episode of Lewis does not a policeman make.
Two episodes.
They cut you out of the second.
I wasn't drunk and D.S. Innocent spoke up for
me. She's not a real cop and neither are you. You're an actor, Charles. Act. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a first night to get to.
Need a plus one.
In wet jogging gear, let me think. No. Now, in the nicest possible way, get the hell out of my office.
Or can I
leave?
I just...
Go now.
I can take
it. It wasn't a hint, it was an order.
There's just one thing.
What?
Don't suppose you keep any spare clothes in the office.
A drop of Nelson's blood wouldn't do us any harm. A drop of Nelson's blood. Wouldn't do us any harm.
Let's rush out. You'll have to make do with tomato juice.
Tomato juice won't slake the thirst of a salty old sea dog.
It's all we've got.
Good God, have you joined a golf club?
I think it suits me.
I've seen Argyle's socks, but Argyle trousers.
I think I can pull them off.
The sooner the better.
They're going back to Morris Monday morning.
I won't even ask. What's with the Captain Pugwash routine?
Torquay, matey.
Torquay?
Torquay.
You've got a long way to go before Torquay.
Torquay is a long way.
In your case, about 3 kilos.
Whatever that is in old money, I'll get there.
We'll see.
You should have seen my vegan lunch. It was so high in fibre, my innards don't know what's hit them.
I'm impressed.
You're impressed.
I'm just having a salad tonight. But there's enough if you...
Salad's good.
Oh. OK. Help yourself to wine.
Not for me.
Really?
Yep.
OK.
That was a test, right?
Right.
Did I pass?
Depends if there's a bottle of scotch stashed in your bedroom.
Feel free to search. You don't need a warrant.
I might need a tetanus jam. I'll take your word for it.
Fine. I'll just change.
Hi, Lisa.
Bad time.
Well, I'm just removing my agent's trousers. Let me rephrase that. My career's not that bad.
This is ridiculously short notice, but are you free over the weekend?
Invariably.
How's your East End villain?
I haven't got an East End villain.
No. Can you do one?
Voice? Oh, yeah. I reckon I could pull something out of the bag.
You were asking for a dry slap, sunshine.
Give me one more.
Coming up.
You were asking for a dry slap, sunshine.
Lovely, thanks. Moving on to shut your mouth.
Got it.
Shut your mouth!
I'm going to give you a few more of those.
Still rolling.
Shut your mouth!
And so went the day, shut with variations mouth. On a theme shut of East End mouth. Geezer for a new shut London-based gangster game,
shut
Lock
your
and Load.
Mouth. Watch it, Jess! He's got a sawn off!
Now Mark You're was dead. Lisa was running the shop, behave and she was running yourself. It much more efficiently.
You're on my manor now. Behave yourself. Tell Frankie to face, no one messes with my family.
But
tell
by the Frankie end of the day, face. She looked tired
no
and stressed.
No one messes with my family.
Okay, Charles, let's call it a day.
You happy with that last one?
Yeah, it's fine.
Only fine?
It's brilliant.
Sarky.
Non-alcoholic drink?
Love to.
One tomato juice, one orange juice and lemonade.
Thanks.
Cheers. So, how's it going?
Rehearsals.
Clean living.
Fine. Or that's what I keep telling myself.
You need an incentive.
Torquay.
Sorry?
Long story. You know, I was surprised when you phoned me.
Well, you said you were up for more voice work.
Well, it's more the timing, you know, Mark. I kind of assumed.
Well, I can't afford not to work.
Sure.
Business wasn't great when Mark was alive. Now it's down to me. I feel I owe it to him to make the company work.
I can understand that.
It's also a distraction.
People deal with grief in their own way. I sound like a vicar.
I don't see you in a dog collar.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that.
You're very easy to talk to.
Am I?
For a man. Most men love the sound of their own voices, but you actually listen.
You're not the first person to say that either. Mind you, she was drunk and hitting on me. Well, not so much hitting as falling on me.
I'm sure she'd have hit on you even if she wasn't drunk. Don't panic. I don't drink.
Good for you.
My parents are both heavy drinkers. It put me off for life.
Unfortunately, it was Mark's drinking that came between us.
I thought I detected a little tension in the studio that day.
Only a little.
Couples always bicker.
Mark's drinking was affecting the business.
I got the impression you were firmly in the driving seat.
Well, someone had to be. And it wasn't just at work. I can tell you to the day the last time we had sex.
That sort of thing's on a need-to-know basis.
And you don't need to know.
No.
You shouldn't be such a good listener. I feel so guilty.
Why?
If I hadn't been away, I might have found him before.
You really mustn't blame yourself.
I can't help
it. You said yourself you were running the business.
You don't understand.
Somebody had to take the meetings, drum up the work.
It wasn't meetings.
I thought you said...
I was away, seeing an old friend.
Or when you say seeing...
I think you know what I mean.
I assumed that she was seeing an old friend in the same way that Bernard was seeing Pippa.
And now I've got to face Gina and daughter at the funeral.
When is it?
Monday.
I'll be there for moral support.
Immoral support.
We'll be paying our respects.
You sure you don't mind turning up with the Scarlet Woman?
When it comes to the Great Reckoning, I'm in no position to throw stones.
Won't you be rehearsing Monday?
I'm sure Tony DeLorney will cut me some slack for a friend's funeral. So, does this mean the police no longer view it as suspicious?
They're still asking me questions.
Just because you found him?
Because of the way I found him.
You told me you found him in the little studio.
Locked in.
Why would he lock himself in?
Well, he wouldn't. And he couldn't if he wanted to. The door only locks from the outside.
Well, maybe a cleaner locked the studio by accident.
Well, the cleaners weren't booked that night. Anyway, you've been in there.
I had been in there with no aircon because Mark had forgotten to book an engineer. And even with the door wedged open, it was cramped, hot, and claustrophobic.
It's impossible for anyone to lock that door without seeing someone was in there.
I died on stage many times, but slowly suffocating in an airless, soundproofed audio studio was too horrible to contemplate. What I really needed was a drink. Failing that, I needed to find out who killed Mark Lear.
In episode 3 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Susie was Jan Ravens, Lisa Isabella Inchbald, Freddie Philip Bretherton, Bernard Sean Murray, Tony Clive Haywood, and Sophie was Abby Andrews. Dead Room Farce was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.